Hi, this is Jerry Hicks, and this is The Science of Deliberate Creation. This is the recording entitled Bodily Conditions, and it's the eighth recording in Abraham's first Special Subjects album, and it was originally received in 1988. All recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are tracking this information, and Esther and I are most appreciative of the role of your intentions in this joyous, co-creative experience. For additional tapes, CDs, books, videos, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Art of Allowing workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690-070, San Antonio, Texas. And the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abrahamhicks.com. That's www.abraham-hicks.com.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are pleased to offer some words regarding this most important subject of bodily conditions. And we are excited to begin, as this, the first series, for your bodies are very near to you and very important. And the condition of them has much to do with the rest of that which you experience. If you are not feeling good, or looking the way you're wanting to look, if you are not in the state of being that pleases you, then it has a way of reflecting out into all other aspects of your life experience. And so it is perhaps the most important of subjects for that reason. It is our favorite place to begin, because it is really the easiest of subjects over which you have absolute control. For it is what you are doing about you. As we are discussing here, it is our intent to offer the laws that are absolute, so that anyone hearing these words may have an understanding that there is nothing that they cannot be or do or have. And certainly, the easiest of all things to control is that which is closest unto you, and that is your physical apparatus. We'll begin by offering the law of deliberate creation, and perhaps that is our dominant reason for interacting with physical man in this time. We come forth as non-physical friends, teachers from the inner world, to assist you in understanding why you are here. What is the purpose of this physical expression? You are here out of your powerful wanting to be here in order to understand more clearly than ever before how it is that you are creator. And so, for the sake of this cassette recording, we will discuss how you are creator of your physical body. In order to create anything, here is the process. It is two-sided. Want it and allow it. With wanting being one side of the delicate balance and allowing being the other. Under the wanting side of this equation, we will add wanting with passion. In fact, that is the way we mean wanting when we use the word wanting. You use it in many ways, but when we say want, we mean the sort of wanting that you have all experienced when there was that which you had difficulty not thinking about. When you are waking up in the morning, that is what you think about. When you go to sleep at night, that is what you think about. When you are discussing with others, that is what you are thinking about. And so wanting with emotion, with passion, that is one side of this delicate balance. And on the other side is the allowing or the believing or the expecting part. And so as you are wanting change in bodily conditions, really wanting and allowing, it will be, and very quickly. Here you are in this physical experience, experiencing all sorts of things for this most important reason. Words do not teach. And so we could sit here and talk for many, many days together. But unless you have had some life experience that merges with the words you are hearing, or unless after you hear these words you have some life experience that brings meaning to them, these words will be but hollow shells. They will not have knowing within them for you. Much of what we will offer here you have already experienced. And so these words will be the catalyst that will bring together the knowing within you. It is our wanting that as you are listening to this recording, if you are wanting to affect change in the condition of your body, whether it is in its beauty, whether it is in its health, whether it is in its vitality, whether it is in its shape or size, no matter what it is you are wanting in regard to your physical apparatus, it is our wanting that as you are finished with this recording, as you turn it off, you will say, now I understand, and now I will go forth and begin to create the bodily conditions that I choose. We are wanting you to know that there is not another that creates in your experience. You are the one. And everything that you receive comes to you by the power of your thought. Your thought that has emotion wrapped around it is the most powerful of thought. That is the thought that brings change about in your experience. The other thoughts, while they are important and while they have creative potential, usually are only maintaining what you have already created. And so there was a time when with great emotion you brought forth this lack of health or illness. And now you continue to maintain it or hold it in your experience by your continued thought regarding it, even though there may not be emotion regarding that subject present now. There is a very powerful law in your universe. It exists in ours as well. It is the most powerful law. It is what makes all other laws work as they do. An inherent part of all that we know is this law. It is the law of attraction. And that law says that that which is likened to itself is drawn. What we are really saying when we say that to you is that that which you think in any moment attracts other thoughts that are like it. That is why when you are thinking upon a subject that is not pleasant, more and more thoughts regarding that subject are quickly drawn. You find yourself in very short order not only experiencing what you are experiencing in this moment, but reaching into your past for more data that fits. And by law of attraction, this negative thought is growing and growing. And proportionately, so is the negative emotion growing and growing. Soon you find yourself discussing it with someone else, and they add unto it, and they reach into their past, and they reach into the experiences of those who are around them until in very short order, most of you, upon any subject that you ponder very long, attract very great data. So much supporting data that it does become an emotional thought and one that does bring forth the subject of the thought into your experience. Unfortunately, regarding bodily conditions, what we notice among most of you is that your thought about your bodily condition is much more often negative than it is positive. You are much more often noticing what you are not wanting than you are noticing what you are wanting. And that is because most of you do not really begin to think about what you want until you've got what you don't want. You wait until the roof has fallen in before you begin intending or wanting another roof. Now, this all ties back into that law of attraction that we were speaking of earlier. You cannot, from any state of being, attract something that is other than that state of being. In other words, that which is likened to itself is drawn. From your position of sickness, you cannot attract health if your thought is upon the sickness. Now, it seems as if there is no way out. It seems that if you are sick, you cannot be well. If you are fat, you cannot be thin. But it is not so. In order to understand how it is possible, you must understand that you are not necessarily the state of being that you see seated here listening to this recording. You are the state of being that you see in your mind. Your reflection of yourself, the way you see yourself in any moment, that is your state of being, not the actual state of affairs as you're sitting here in this clump of flesh and bone and blood. You see, what we're leading to is this. If you feel fat, if that is your state of being, if you have been having conversation, noticing the lack of what you are wanting, from that state of being, you cannot attract anything else. It defies law. If you feel sick, you cannot, from that state of being, attract health. That defies law. And so it is very important for you in every day to bring yourself for 10 or 15 minutes to a point of seeing yourself as you are wanting to be, in that perfect body, that body that functions perfectly, that feels full of vitality, that looks precisely as you are wanting it to look. And as you sit seeing it in your mind's eye, visualizing, or speaking it through your words in auditory fashion, or just experiencing it by closing your eyes and imagining that that is your state of being, or by taking your paper and pencil and writing all of the things about yourself that you are wanting and imagining that it is already done, that that is who you are. As you do that, clearly, you will bring forth such great emotional response that the power of your emotion in combination with the clarity of your vision of self will launch forth and will reach into the universe for much assistance and aid in bringing about that which you are wanting. It is by law, and it is most powerful. When you are doing your thinking without emotion, you are not accessing the power of the universe. You are doing it on your own. When you do your thinking with great emotion, you access power of the universe. There is positive and negative power, not source of it, but your thought in combination with positive emotion brings forth great positive help. Your negative thought in combination with great negative energy brings forth great negative help. Do you see what we are saying? And so as you are thinking of what you are wanting, what you will receive is great and powerful positive help to assist you in achieving of that which you seek. We encourage you to do your intentional creating in every day. 10 or 15 minutes is quite enough. And the reason we say that is that with every day that you do it, your vision of self will become stronger until eventually in all of your waking hours you will see yourself as that being. And then you will be very powerful in your attraction of that which you want. But 10 or 15 minutes in every day is enough. We encourage you to do it when you are feeling best. In other words, bring yourself to positive, joyful emotion before you do this intentional visualization. Otherwise, you will only add power unto the state of being that you hold as you go in. You see, when your toe is throbbing, it is very difficult for you to visualize a healthy foot. When you are most noticing what you do not want, that is not the time to begin creating what you do want, because your point is upon what you do not want. And that is the reason that so many of you do not get so many things you want. You argue with us, Abraham, your law must not be complete, for there are many things that I have wanted that I do not have. And Abraham, I have been thinking of those things that I have been wanting for a very long time. And we say, we know you have. That is why we are here to assist you with some clarification. More often than not, what you have been thinking about, as you have been thinking about what you want, is more about the lack of what you want than about what you want. You notice what you do not have, and that is what makes you think about what you do want. But your dominant thought, the most of your thoughts, is upon the lack. And by law of attraction, whatever you give thought to is that which you are attracting. And whatever you give thought to with emotion is that which you attract more quickly. Most of you who are listening to this recording have already created something within your physical condition that you do not want. It is the reason that you are here listening. Most of you have that which you are wanting instead of that which you have. And we say to you, you must take your attention away from what you have which you do not want and put it upon that which you want, which you believe you do not yet have. And as you see what you do not have as if you already have it, then it will be yours. As you visualize yourself as you are wanting to be with such clarity that you actually are believing that it is done, it will be done. And you will begin to see the evidence of it seeping into your experience in many different ways. You see, most of you who are here listening have been wanting this for some time. It is not a new wanting. It is something that you have been struggling with for a very long time. And because you have struggled with it for a very long time, you already have quite a bit of resistance without resolving it built up inside of you. You are more believing that it is hard to do than you are believing that it is easy to do. Some of you are even believing that it is not possible, even though you are wanting it to be. We say to you, there is not a physical apparatus, no matter what the state of decay, no matter what the condition, who cannot achieve the perfect body condition that you seek. That is our knowing. Here is the process. You have heard it offered in rather general explanation, and now we will become ever so much more specific. It is our wanting that as you hear these words, you will recognize the value for you within them. And you will recognize as you hear these words that indeed there truly is nothing that you cannot be or do or have. And the creating of the physical body that you are wanting is certainly among the easiest of all that creating, for it is nearest your thinking mechanism. Your physical apparatus is near you, stimulating your thought more of the time. And for all of these reasons, it is our expectation that you will begin at once to achieve that which you seek in regards to your bodily conditions. As you came into this physical expression of life, you came by the power of your great wanting. From non-physical position, you wanted so much to be in this physical body. And while in most cases you did not visualize the physical detail, you did want vitality. You did want a strong apparatus, one that would carry you to the heights of all other creating. As you were born, or as you emerged into this physical expression of life, you were closer to the inner world than you were to the physical world, more attached to it. And your sense of well-being and strength came from that inner dimension more than it did from the physical dimension. And little by little, the longer you were focused in the physical, you began to be a part of what was physical. And you began to hear or absorb through thought that which surrounded you in the form of beliefs, the comparison started right away. Not enough teeth, not enough hair, didn't walk as soon as the others. And you began to see yourself in many cases not as that strong, vital, invincible being that came forth, but as a little dependent being that had also many things that were not exactly as they should be. And from this state of focusing very early upon lack, you began developing the pattern of noticing more things about yourself that you do not like than noticing about you that you do like. It is that way with almost everything in your life experience. The way you think about most things has much more to do with the beliefs that surround you than it does with what you want. And what most of you do not understand is that there is a great difference between what you believe must be and what can be. What we have come forth into your dimension to offer to you is the understanding that there are powerful laws that exist, and that as you understand and apply the laws, you need not be attached in a sort of stair-step fashion to what has been in order to have what you are now wanting. In other words, your current beliefs say to you, I must crawl before I walk, I must walk before I run. And we say to you, if you are wanting to fly and you understand the laws, you may set forth your thought for that and have it. You do not need to have those other things first. We are wanting you to understand, friends, that there is nothing that you cannot be or do or have. And we will here state in great clarity the laws that, as you understand and apply them, will give you the proof in your real life experience that that which we have just stated is absolute. Here is the law of deliberate creation. It hinges upon your understanding, awareness, and knowledge of the law of attraction. The law of attraction says that which is likened to itself is drawn. Try to remember that. Whatever your state of being, whatever the way you feel, you are attracting more of that. You have had experiences, have you not, where you were in a sort of negative frame of mind where everything you touched turned bad? You said, I should get back into bed. Everything is going wrong. And it is because you attracted it by your state of being. On the other hand, you have had days where everything seemed to go right from the moment you got out of bed because you attracted to your state of being, you see. Now, the law of creation is this. It is a delicate balance. And it says, as you want it on the one hand, want it, remember, with great emotion, and allow it or believe it or expect it on the other hand, then it will be. Most of you do not allow yourself to want for one reason or another, which is a subject of another recording all on its own. You suppress your wanting mostly because you believe you cannot have everything you want. And so why put yourself through the torture of wanting that which you cannot have? We will define here for you what wanting is. And then perhaps you will realize that there are many things that you may want or can want or do want that you have not been allowing. Wanting is thought in the direction of something that as you are thinking it, you have emotion about it. Positive, powerful, passionate emotion. That is wanting. Many of you remember as you came together with your mate, the power of that wanting. On the other side of the equation, as you have already heard us say, is the believing or expecting. Now, there are some things that you say, I want $1 million. But you do not allow because you do not expect. It is rather far-fetched to want something so extreme, you say. I don't know anyone who has done that. And so, while you say you may want it, you do not believe it, and so it is not your experience. Many of you have many things in your experience because the belief side of the equation is very high. If you can picture this equation with wanting on the right side and believing or allowing or expecting on the other side, seeing it sort of like a teeter-totter with a fulcrum point in the middle, with the wanting and the believing equal, That will bring you whatever you are wanting. That is balanced creation. On the other hand, the wanting side may be higher and the believing side may be lower, but it is still a form of balance and you still can have it. Or the believing may be higher and the wanting may be lower and you may still have it. That is the way you have most things in your experience, because it is our knowing that you do not do much wanting with passion. Almost all of you believe that you can earn minimum wage, and so you do at least that. Almost all of you believe that you can have 3 meals a day, and so you do. Your belief is very high on those subjects, your wanting not particular. You take it for granted. You do not want it with great passion. You expect it. You're expecting, you're allowing, you're believing is high while your wanting is not. And so you get many things. But that is a limited use of the equation, you see, because there is a limit to what you can believe, because there is not a lot of evidence that surrounds you of all things. If you will use the other side of the equation with the wanting higher, there is not a limit to your wanting. For fast creating of what you want, we would suggest that you do whatever you can to increase the wanting side of the equation. For if you want it enough, now hear this, friends, if you want it enough, you need not believe it so much. Those miracles you have created in the past, you said, my, I cannot believe that it happened. And we say, your belief does not need to be there if you want it enough, you see. And so we must ask you as you listen to this tape, how much do you want that which you say you want? If you have not taken the time to see yourself as you think you want to be, you don't know if you really want it or not. And we say to you, if when you think about what you think you want, if you don't have great, powerful, positive, passionate, joyful emotion come forth, then you don't want it in the way that it will happen fast. It will lumber into you. And that really is going about it the hard way. Usually the things that come to you in that fashion, by the time they get there, you can't even remember that you wanted them. That is why you're not sure that you're the creator of your experience, you see. And so the subject of this recording from this point, because we assume that what you want, you really want fast. We assume you are wanting to create those bodily conditions quickly. We will address the subject of wanting. How to bring yourself to the state of passionate wanting so that you will be that powerful creator regarding this subject. Now, there is something that we must tell you in order for you to understand more clearly how all of this will work for you. You are much more than you see here in this physical body. As you look at yourself, as you are here listening to this recording, you see a wondrous being. Indeed, we are certain of that. But you do not see the complete being, for there is another part of you that exists now as this part exists here in this dimension. Many of you acknowledge that there was something before this life, and many of you believe or want to believe that there will be something beyond this life experience. What we are wanting you to understand is that as you exist now in this physical body, that there is another part of you that exists within the inner dimension. And we will call that part of you the inner being. That inner being has been communicating with you from the time that you were born into this expression of physical life through your emotion. The very emotion that you feel is communication from that inner being. When you are thinking about something that is in harmony with what you are wanting, your inner being offers you positive emotion. When you are thinking about something that you are not wanting, your inner being offers you negative emotion. When you are physically near something that is of advantage to you, something that leads you in the direction of what you want, your inner being offers you positive emotion. When you are physically near that which is a danger, that which you do not want, your physical being offers you, your non-physical inner being offers you negative emotion. This communication has been agreed by you in the physical and you in the inner world to be a feeling rather than a thought, in the beginning especially. Because while you are thinking other things, you are not receptive to thought. But the feeling may come forth under all conditions. Friends, there are only two emotions. One feels bad and one feels good. The good one is what we call positive emotion. The one that feels bad is negative emotion. You call them all sorts of different things based upon the physical experience that you are having. But from our perspective, the love, the peace, the joy, the exhilaration, the satisfaction, all of those are positive emotions, and they all feel pretty much the same. Differing degrees, of course, but they are wonderful feelings. The negative emotions, such as the pain, despair, loneliness, guilt, doubt, fear, anger, those emotions are the negative emotions, and really there is only one. They all feel pretty much the same, and they feel pretty rotten. If you will recognize that the emotions that you feel are indeed your guidance system, that part of you, that inner part of you, is offering, then you will have a guidance system that will really work for you. You may trust your inner being, for that part of you remembers all that you have been. You have lived thousands of physical and non-physical life experiences. You do not remember it, for it is part of your agreement, and that also is the subject of another entire recording. But what we are wanting you to understand is that you are more than you see here in this body, and that you have access to that greater knowing, to that greater guidance, to that greater wisdom, if you will allow the emotion that comes forth to guide you. Now, if you can accept that, then the rest that we have to offer will be of great value. You have heard us say to you that when you are focused in the direction of what you think you want, and great, powerful, positive emotion comes forth, then you are greater and faster in your creating. And that is because you have access to inner world. All of the universe now is working with you upon the subject of your desire. You are no longer banging it out in the physical on your own. When you are giving thoughts or working, interacting in the physical without emotion, then there is not the power coming forth from within. You are doing it all. And you may attract the positive power in the direction of what you want, or you may attract the negative power in the direction of what you do not want. You are the one who chooses the direction by choosing the thought that you are thinking, or the words that you are speaking, or the action that you are taking. And now we will offer you a three-step process for the bringing about of those ideal body conditions that you seek. The first step is to get happy. In other words, you are about to go into your workshop, which is step two. But before you go into your workshop, step one is to bring yourself to a happy state of being. Sometimes you wake up just feeling as if you are in that state of being. You already feel happy. If that is the case, go to your workshop. Now, what we mean by workshop is not some place that is strange or hard to find. It is simply a place where you can go, where you are alone, not distracted by whatever else may be happening around you, where you may sit and see yourself as you are wanting to be. The place is not important. The time of day is not important. What is important is that first you bring yourself to a happy state of mind, and that you go there for 10 or 15 minutes where you ponder the subject of your desire to the point that you get excited about it, that you bring forth from inner being communication that says, yes, we are in harmony and all of the universe is assisting you. For that is what joy is saying to you. That is what joyful goosebumps are saying to you. That is what that peaceful, joyful, loving, wondrous feeling is about. It is communication saying, yes, the subject of your thought is being done now, you see. all of you have had experiences that bring you a sort of lift. Sometimes it is the hearing of a particular music. Sometimes it is watching your animal friends or watching water that is moving. For each of you it is different, and usually the same thing does not continue always. And so we say to you, begin looking about, finding ways to get happy. And then use whatever way is working best for you in any day to bring yourself to a happy state of mind. And once you feel that you're happy, sit for a moment and begin to work in your workshop. Now, we are going to go backwards a little bit, taking you away from the workshop for a moment, telling you how to prepare before you go into your workshop. You see, you are physical beings here focused in a world of examples. There is some of everything around you, just as there is some of everything in the universe. We encourage you, as you are moving through your day, to look for things that you want. Look for character traits in others. Look for state of health in others. Look for state of physical apparatus in others. Look for cars you like in others. Look for beautiful things that you want to attract into your experience everywhere you go. Whether it is a physical car, whether it is the physical dollars, whether it is a state of health, whether it is a personality trait. Look for that in others in this wondrous example of your world and collect that data little by little. That in itself will begin to make you a happier person as you set about in every day looking for things you want. One of the things that makes Esther happiest is music. Listening to music, not all music, but every now and again she will hear a recording that sends her soaring. We would encourage her to use those songs that send her soaring to bring her fast to the state of happy before going into the workshop. Another thing that makes her happy is to go shopping. Not necessarily going buying, but to go shopping, going to those beautiful stores where all of the beautiful things that she enjoys are displayed so beautifully. That makes her happy. The reason that she feels happy as she is there is because she is physically near much of that which she wants, you see. It is law. When you are physically near the subject of that which you want, your inner being will offer you happiness. Now, what we are saying to you is if you will go about your physical day looking for things that make you happy, you will begin to collect data so that when you go into your workshop, you have some frame of reference. And you may begin bringing all of the things that you saw outside into your workshop. Now, in this example, the subject of this workshop is bodily conditions. But we say to you, it is not necessary to limit your workshop to only one subject. You may see yourself as healthy, as perfect body weight, dressed in the way you want to be dressed, interacting with those you want to interact with, enjoying the prosperity that you seek, you see. You may bring all subjects into your workshop. You are not limited here. For this workshop, we will discuss bodily condition only. And so part one is get happy. Part two is to go into your workshop, having collected some data from outside. And now you will go to work. We are wanting you to know, friends, that your work here in this physical experience is this: to discern what you want and then to see it as done and it will be done. That is the way you create, and that is your work. The rest of that which you do is just filling in the physical time and space. That is what we call banging it out, and it is all right, for you have chosen this wonderful, delicious physical experience because you like that. But we are saying you are confused about what your real work is. Your real work is determining what you want. And you learn what you want by being out in the world, seeing some of all of it. Seeing that which you do not want or experiencing that which you do not want helps to clarify what you do want. And it all adds to your growth. And so if there is something in your bodily conditions now that you don't want, don't beat up on yourself about it. Don't be angry or disappointed. Don't feel that you are the victim. Say, I have collected this data to help me be clearer about what I do want. It is wonderful, this point of clarity that you have now reached, knowing that you don't want what you've got, but giving your attention to what you do want instead. That is the key. And so now from this happy state of being, you go into your workshop, and this is the sort of thing that we would encourage. Here I am in my workshop, and I am about to go to work. Indeed, a different sort of work than I have been going about. I have been told that I am the creator of my experience, and so here I am, wanting in this time that I am here alone to see myself as I want to be, and to see it so clearly that I actually get excited about it. For I am believing, from the words I have just heard, that as I get excited about it, that I have somehow gathered power from the universe, and that I can use the power of my passion to propel the subject of my wanting, so that I'm going to get what I want faster as a result of this workshop, and that in itself excites me. And so here I am, I see myself moving through life experience very fast and very joyfully, getting in and out of the automobile very comfortably. It is as if I have no resistance to physical experience. I am flowing through life with such energy, with such vigor, that it's exhilarating just to watch myself moving. It is as if I have endless flow of energy and endless flow of ideas in which to expend the energy. It is a wonderful state of being. I'm seeing myself in my mind's eye moving through life, but I cannot see my feet moving. It is as if they do not need to walk to get me where I'm going. I am simply going, 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 and liking all of it. I can feel the wind in my hair. I can feel the air moving through my lungs. I am beginning to feel the vitality of my being. It is as if all that I have wanted as youth is now recaptured in this physical apparatus. I am feeling invincible and wonderful. I see myself in perfect body size and shape. I'm liking what I am seeing. I've seen pictures of others who look this way. I've seen actual physical representatives of others walking about the streets. And it is fun to see myself as I'm wanting to be. But even more than what I'm seeing, it is what I'm feeling that is wonderful. This invigorated state of being. Endless energy and very much joy coming forth within me. I am seeing myself in perfect body health, recognizing that there is not a need to have anything else. I'm seeing myself breathing easily, moving easily, and feeling good. There is no pain, only joy and exhilaration coursing through this body. And it feels wonderful to be in this state of perfect health, perfect vitality, perfect body, weight and size. And I might add, dressed in just the way I'm liking to be dressed. It is nice to be in this state of being. I like it very much. Now that is enough for this subject. If you have been hearing and feeling as we have regarding this subject, you are now at the state of being whereby by law of attraction, hear that friends, you will begin to attract more of same unto you. You will be better at adding the words in your workshop than we are at adding them for you know more clearly what you are wanting, for the details of your experience have pointed it out to you. And for this time, we are complete. And we are ready for your questions.
Good. These are just some questions that I've heard people ask through the years, are the ones that I hear the most often asked. What about accidental injury or trauma? How can a traumatic injury be resolved? Something that's happened, a breakage of something that happened in an instant, as opposed to a long series of thoughts leading to it.
There is not much difference in the mending process, whether it is a traumatic injury, something has fallen upon your head, or you have been involved in an automobile accident, than to repair the damage that has been created through cancer or something else. As with the cancer, the automobile accident has been longer in coming than you think, for it is the ending result, you see.
Yeah.
It is all process of thought.
It just seems that one jumps on you all at once. But really, there is not so much difference as you think. And at any rate, what we are wanting to prepare this recording for is for the benefit of those who already have created some of the things that they do not want, to help them to understand what to do about it now. Yes. And in the case of accidental injury or any other illness, the best formula for getting rid of the sickness fast and replacing it with perfect health is to visualize the state of being as you are wanting it to be, so much so that you believe it, if only for a few minutes every day, and actually get excited about it. And from that state of health in your thinking brain, you will attract it into your, what you would call, real life experience.
This is the end of Side A of this recording. Please turn the cassette over and continue with the message.
Can a congenital illness be resolved the same way something that a person came into physical form with at birth?
It can. What you must understand is that if you will visualize your state of being as you are wanting it to be, in other words, visualize yourself feeling good, not necessarily visualizing yourself with everything inside of you just as the chart on the wall says it should be. What you are seeking is a result in performance and in the way you feel and in the way you are able to move through physical life, not necessarily that all of the parts are there in equal weight, size, and number, you see. And so there are some things that are not what is considered to be normal, but you have wondrous ways of compensating. You are very resilient, you see.
Okay, how can a new baby attract a disease that they don't have a conscious awareness of yet, or that they haven't heard words?
There are a number of different reasons for that. One very important thing to understand is that you are communicating with all beings, whether they are infants or very old adults, through thought much more than you realize. You are absorbing thought.
Like telepathy?
That is it, exactly. And so you are communicating on many levels to that little one, even though the little one is not hearing words and understanding them. Another thing to consider is that the being existed long before the physical body. In other words, the intent of this physical experience began before the physical body, or before the emergence into the physical body. And so there are some instances where there have been intentions, even before physical birth, to have things a particular way just for the challenge of it, or just for the fun of it.
Like some sort of abnormality, perhaps?
There is not much of that. As a matter of fact, there is really very little of that, but it does occur. For the most part, if a birth defect occurs, it is occurring by default. In other words, it is that which has been created because attention has not been given to create something other than that.
How soon can a baby begin seeing how it wants it to be? You know, something different from what it's already created, say if it's an hour old or a day old or something.
They begin very early. What they seek in the beginning is comfort. What they are wanting is the feeling of life and the feeling of health. There is much that would not develop into a problem if you were not so ready as adults to make the comparison. You make much more out of things than need to be made out of.
So you feel that the continuation of a problem is has a degree with the influence of the adults around
Absolutely.
The little being? Okay, thank you. The most recent, what I call popular, what we call our incurable diseases have been herpes and AIDS. And yet we're now beginning to see what we call AIDS survivors, people who have lived way beyond what they were told they were going to be able to live. What would you suggest to someone who was in fear of, let's say, contracting AIDS, or who was already afflicted with it and now wanting health?
There is not a physical apparatus, no matter what the state of deterioration, who cannot achieve perfect health. But that which you believe has much to do with that which you will allow in your experience. In an environment where you have been convinced that it is not curable, that it is fatal, and then you are told that you have it, for the most part, your belief will be that you will not survive, and you will not. We say to you, your survival has nothing to do with the disease and has everything to do with your thought toward it. And so if you say to yourself, that may be true for others, it is not so for me, for I am the creator of my experience and certainly for my own state of being, and I choose recovery, not death, you will achieve it. Now, these words are easily said by us and not so easily heard by those who do not believe in their power to create. We are telling you as it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a fellow, his name is Norman Cousins, he's an author and so on, and he had a disease that he picked up in Europe that was considered incurable. I don't think anyone had ever lived through that. And yet he found a system of listening to movies that were funny. He got the films, the videos, and he just sat in his room, I understand, and just watched these movies and laughed, and the disease went away. What would you say was behind his system that caused this to work for him, and can other people use it, and how would you suggest it be used?
It's a very good system. You see, health is the natural state of being, not sickness.
Mm-hmm.
If you have sickness, it is because you have attracted it through thought. You have attracted it by allowing negative emotion to remain within you long enough that it has worked its deterioration on your apparatus. What this man so wisely did was took his attention from what he did not want, thereby releasing his attraction of it.
Yes.
And as he released the attraction of illness, he had it no more, you see.
Oh, yes.
Most who are sick have a very difficult time thinking of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if there is pain involved, it is not easy to think not of that which is hurting you. We would recommend to anyone who is having pain to wait until they are not having the pain, or when they are having the least of it, when their pill is working the best.
Yes.
Or when they are comfortable in their bed.
Yes.
To do their visualization of perfect state, to see themselves right before they sleep as healthy, then to go to sleep and have all those hours where they are not focused upon the pain is a very beneficial way, you see. The man in the hospital, laughing when he was awake and sleeping otherwise, made short work of the disease, you see. It is effective.
Through my life, my adult life, I've never been so sick that I didn't do the work that I intended to do that day. In other words, I never stayed home or stopped doing. But I always felt my work was so important. But I always found if I went ahead and did it, that whatever was starting on me, I felt like something was about to start, a cold or flu or something, that it seemed like it would go away. So is that focusing on what I wanted to do, the work that I went to?
It is. As you give your attention to that which you do not want, you attract more of it. As you give your attention to that which you do want, you attract more of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is law.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you begin to feel a little bit sick, what most of you do is notice that you feel a little bit sick.
Uh-huh.
Usually it begins only with a thought, and usually you are not really feeling sick. You are tired. Your physical body offers you many wonderful manifestations to sort of prompt you.
Yes.
We say to you, when
yes.
you are tired, your body will tell you
yes.
that it is time to rest, just as when you are hungry, your body will tell you that it is time to eat.
Yes.
But so often, because of the negative stimulation of thought surrounding the subject of health, which surrounds all of you,
yes.
you mistake your feeling of tiredness for, oh, I think I must be getting sick, you will say.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there are many intentions that all fit together, and there is not one statement that we can make that will be accurate
sure.
for everyone. But we see it often. Sometimes being sick provides you escape from something else that you are not wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your environment, there is much allowing of sickness for the sake of not having to do something else which you really don't want even more than the sickness.
Yes.
What is not understood is that by law of attraction, when you begin playing that sort of game with self, you are opening the door to greater and greater and greater sickness.
I've seen that.
You can see it as you say, I'm not feeling very well, and you begin to think about it, and the more you think about it, the more you are really not feeling very well. But if you could get your attention off of that and onto something else, you would forget you are sick, and it would go away as well.
Yes.
Of course, we are not speaking of the great illnesses, those that have been attracted with great power over a longer period of time. But they all start somewhere, you
see. I see, right. Here's a question. Since it's all apparently by thought, then why do vaccines like the one we've had for polio seem to almost put an end to the spread of those particular types of diseases?
In order to create anything, there is the thought toward it and the allowing of it. In other words, want it or give thought to it, allow it or believe it, and it is. The vaccine is offered as cure.
Right.
And because there is wanting for cure, and then belief, depending upon the credibility of the one offering the cure,
mm-hmm.
as far as you are concerned, you, the receiver of it, when there is belief in the cure,
yes.
and wanting for it, you have completed the delicate balance of creation. You want it, and you allow it or believe it, and so it is.
Well, that would lead me to my next question. People like witch doctors, faith healers, medical doctors, all of them have the reputation for healing some people and for losing some of the patients, too. Where is the place, where do you see the place for medical doctors and witch doctors and faith healers in thought or in life?
They are all of value in the stimulation of belief. In other words, they assist you in believing that there is hope.
Yes.
And as you believe that there is possibility, then they are of value. Where they fall short, particularly the medical doctors, is that there are those things that they believe cannot be cured. They become so technically involved
uh-huh.
that they know the odds.
True.
And as they tell the odds to you, then what they are really doing is supporting your belief that you cannot be healed or that you cannot find the cure.
I can see that.
They are susceptible, even more so than you are, to data that works against what you want. For they see many more sick than well. That is their work. You must understand, their intent when you come to them is to find something wrong with you. That is the focus.
Yes.
They are looking for the reason to exist. And if there is not something wrong with you, then there is not reason for their existence. And so their focus is much more upon finding something wrong than it is upon fixing it. Now, most of them do not accept that. They do not really see that that is true.
Okay.
For they all, or most all, are wanting very much to help you.
Sure.
We are not saying they are not wanting to help
you.
We are saying their dominant intent when they interact with you, as they examine you,
mm-hmm.
is to find some evidence of something wrong.
Yes.
And since that is their dominant intent, that is more of what they attract than anything else. And so they find much more wrong than they are able to help you fix. In time, after they have been involved in it for a long period of time, they begin to believe in the fallibility of man. They begin to notice much more what is wrong than what is right, and that is the reason that so many of them begin to attract in their own experience illness, you see.
In other words, that's the reason that often they can't heal themselves.
That is the reason.
Okay. Did you have another comment?
It is not easy to be focused upon negative without experiencing the negative emotion within your own being. And illness exists because man allows negativity. One who never experiences negativity will not be sick. A rare one indeed.
Yes.
Yes.
What's the best thing that I as an individual can do for another person who's having a physical problem?
Speak to them of what they want. When they speak to you of their illness, do not listen with any sort of enthusiasm. Do not encourage their conversation regarding it.
Right.
Encourage them to talk about what they want.
Yes.
And when you hear them speak of what they do not want, you might say to them, I've learned the power of my words. And so as I hear you speaking of what I know you do not want,
yes,
I must tell you, I must remove myself, for I am not wanting to contribute to your miscreating.
Good.
I'm wanting to hear what you want. What do you want?
Good.
And then see them as you look at them as whole and well. Do not give your attention to the illness, for your attention to it influences their attention to it, which increases
yes.
it by law of attraction, you see.
Okay, now often, or from time to time, someone will come and they'll say, well, I have a friend or family member who's in a coma. In other words, they couldn't hear what you would say, any encouragement, or see any body language. And so what could a person, or is there anything a person can do for someone that they love or care about who's in an unconscious state, so to speak?
It is the same. Now hear this. When one is not in a conscious state, that does not mean they are not receiving. They are not receiving from your conscious state to their conscious state necessarily, but they may very well be receiving from your inner wanting to their inner wanting. In other words, there is not death.
Right.
Even if they are not in their physical body anymore, there is still communication.
Right.
And so something such as a coma certainly does not sever the communication.
No.
When they are in coma or unconscious state, we'll tell you what has happened.
Okay.
They are interacting with their inner being, literally making the decision whether to remain in physical form or not. Assessing the physical apparatus, trying to decide if it is worth returning to, trying to decide what they are wanting with this physical expression. They are literally in a sort of conference
yes.
with inner being, trying to decide whether to return consciously to physical expression or whether to withdraw from physical expression of life. Of course, what you want is of value. And so as you are standing over their bed or thinking about them when you are not even in their hospital room, project your feelings to them. I want you to do what is important
Good.
To you. I approve of whatever your decision. I love you unconditionally.
Yes.
If you stay, I will be ecstatic. And if you go, I will be ecstatic. Do what is best for you.
Good.
That is the best you can do for them.
And so those people who are sometimes 7, 8, or 10 years in a state like that of not able to communicate with those around them are often that long in making that decision or whatever, they're doing what they're wanting to do, we'll assume.
Most of them, if it is that length of time, made the decision not to return long ago, and someone in the physical violated their decision, kept them plugged into a machine where they keep their body alive, but their consciousness has long gone and will not come back.
Okay. Another question. Inherited conditions. I've heard people say, well, I have migraine headaches because my mother had migraine headaches, or my mother's overweight and my grandmother was overweight and I'm and my children are also overweight. So do some people inherit physical problems? Is it genetic or inherited thing?
There is much evidence that would support that as the family lines are charted
yes.
and as much attention is given. And so we cannot argue that that is the way that it seems to be. However, we would tell you that the cause
mm-hmm.
for this seemingly inherited tendency
yes.
is the thought rather than something that is physical. The physical is an extension of the thought. In other words, you are much more contagious or inheriting through your thoughts and spoken word to one another than you are through your germs or genes.
In other words, if I hear my mother speak of her headaches and I accept that, then I can start having them myself.
It becomes part of that which you give thought to with expectation, which is the giving thought and the allowing. Both sides of the equation are now in place for you, and so you also create the headache in your experience.
If I hear her complain of headaches and I consciously reject that and say that may be for you, but that's not for me, does that protect me?
It would.
In a sense, or to some degree?
The best thing to say, rather than what I do not want, is what I choose is perfect health.
Yeah.
I am creator of my experience, and why I love you, Mother. And while I see that you are not comfortable, I do not choose that for me.
I've been hearing on the media recently that there's free flu shots in town for those who want to go in and get them. How will that news that we're hearing, or will it affect in any way the spread of the flu virus?
Oh, it will be of great value to the spread of the flu virus. You see, your television is the most dramatic and effective influencer for illness that we have ever experienced in all of our non-physical days. For as we watch 1 hour of your television viewing, we are amazed at the amount of negative influence. Let us tell you how they assist you. Now remember, the creation of anything is to give thought to it with emotion,
right.
Speeds it,
right.
And then expect it, and it is. And so they show you the statistics, they tell you the horror stories, they stimulate your thought.
Mm-hmm.
And as you are being stimulated by the thought in great detail, you have the emotion, the dread, the fear, I do not want that. One half of the equation is complete. And then they encourage you to go in for a checkup or to come and get the free flu shots. Obviously, we know it is an epidemic, or we would not be offering the free flu shots, you
yes.
see. And that completes the expectation,
yes.
or the allowing part, and now you are in the perfect position for the receiving of the flu, or whatever it else is they are talking about. As they tell you, one out of every five has it, and you are probably the one, they scare you. They encourage you to give thought with emotion. And then they say, see your physician. And when you go to your physician, remember the intent of the physician is to find something wrong. Now you are expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, under that sort of thought process, you will receive much of the subject. Look around you. There are many more who are sick.
I heard two people at last night's session saying, I think I may have the flu coming on. So that's what that's from. They've been listening to the shows, and their thought is stimulated.
They have received some sensation
mm-hmm.
that is not what they are used to. Perhaps a warning signal that they are a little tired. The weather has changed. They are a little colder.
Uh-huh.
There are many reasons for changes in sensations. What we are wanting to say is that if you will learn to catch your warning signals at the early subtle stages and use that warning as a stimulation to help you state what you do
yes,
want,
yes.
then you will never have to have anything that you do want, not
catch
want.
It while it's small.
You see, we talked about being without negativity and having perfect health. But a better way of saying it would be to say, for we are not wanting to remove negativity from your life. That is part of your warning system. It
sure.
is a value.
Sure.
We say to you, learn to catch those things in the early subtle stages. Negative emotion is a warning that you are thinking or speaking or acting in some direction that you are not wanting. And if you will catch it in the early
yes.
stages, then it will not, by law of attraction,
good.
Be allowed to grow.
Good.
And so it is with the little pain or the little twitch or the little thing in your physical body that is not normal. It is all of the widespread influence of illness that makes you worry about a little pain that isn't even as important as you would pinch your hand with your own fingers.
Yes.
And yet, because it is something you cannot identify, you jump to the conclusion that there is something wrong, you add emotion to it, and you begin attracting, you see.
For instance, the television does give a great deal of attention currently to a disease called Alzheimer's disease and arthritis. And for most of the people, as you said earlier, for many of those who will be listening to this tape, they have already, there's something that they're wanting to resolve. Can the gnarled joints that some arthritic people have, or the memory failure or loss that some people seem to have developed, can that be resolved? Can it be turned totally around at whatever age?
Indeed, it can. It is not believed that it can be by most, but it is our knowing that there is no state of deterioration that cannot be resolved.
Okay.
If the wanting and belief are there.
Right. So a person just has to know that.
That is correct.
You know, I know I've consciously, on purpose, added muscle to my body back when I had little and wanted it. Can I consciously, or can any of us consciously add or detract bone from our body as well?
You can, in the same way. The difference is that the current belief about the muscle is there. The current belief about the bone is not.
True, I saw a man who had developed tremendous muscles, and I wanted that.
It is something that many are doing.
But I haven't seen bone changed.
You see, that is the reason that you evolve so slowly as people. You must be convinced through belief that something can be because you see evidence of it.
Yes.
What we are wanting you to understand is that you need not see evidence in order to create it once you understand the law is absolute.
So the challenge is being that pioneer, the first one out, huh?
From our perspective, it is wondrous to be the pioneer.
Yeah.
When you understand that you have only to want it and allow it to be and it is, then you're able to be or do or have anything that you're wanting, including perfect health.
Yes.
From state of great deterioration.
Yes.
But it is not always easy for you to sever yourself from the world that believes otherwise long enough to keep your thoughts focused upon what you want. But when you understand that from your state of being, which is your mental projection of self,
yes,
that is the state from which you attract,
yes,
then you will find yourself fighting to have 10 or 15 minutes a day to go into a workshop where you can imagine yourself in perfect state of health,
yes,
or prosperity or whatever else,
yes,
you're wanting. You see, what has been has nothing to do with what will be. And what others experience has nothing to do with what you experience. But you must find a way to separate yourself,
right,
from all of that, from the past and from the others, in order to be what you want to be, you see.
In other words, an example is the people have been running for thousands of years, and no one had been able to run for a mile, cover a mile in 4 minutes' time. And then a man named Roger Bannister did it. And once he did it, then those who hadn't separated themselves from mankind at that time could connect to him, and then they were many, many, many do it now.
And we are appreciating those pioneers, as you say,
yes,
who show new lack of limitation.
Right.
But still,
yes,
that is going about it the hard way. If you must wait for someone else to do something to prove to you that it can be done, in most cases, you will wait many more than one lifetime for your proof.
Yeah.
But when you accept that the law of creation is absolute, then you say, so I am sick, and so they say this disease is fatal.
Yes.
What I have just learned is that I am creator, not fate,
mm-hmm,
not heredity,
mm-hmm,
not what anyone else says,
right,
but what I want makes the difference.
Yes.
And if your wanting is intense enough and passionate enough, then you can override some of those beliefs and you can have your miracles.
Yes.
It is not different from the mother whose child is pinned beneath the automobile that weighs many, many times more,
yes,
than anything she has ever lifted or thought of lifted.
Yes.
But in her wanting to free her child,
yes,
she lifts it from the child and pulls the child out with the other arm.
Right.
Under any other conditions, she could not begin to lift that automobile. She could not lift one half its weight. But with the wanting keen, she is able to. She accomplishes the miracle by all other standards, you see.
The analogy that you use of the teeter-totter, where the wanting is heavy and the belief is light, it still gets the job done.
If you said to her, do you believe you can pick that automobile,
yes,
up? She would say, of course not. I cannot pick up my suitcase when it is full.
Yeah.
But belief had nothing to do with this, you see. Her child was dying beneath the automobile. Her wanting was to lift it. And so she does.
Okay. I really want health, but I really believe that I can catch some things. And so when I go into a hospital, I've never been in one for me, but I've been in hospitals visiting people who are there. And I hold my breath as I walk down the corridor so no germs will get in me. So as a result...
You must have very short visits.
It's tough, yes. And I keep going to a window and trying to get some air or something at home. And so I do have short visits, too. But my question is, so what's the key there to get the belief? I believe that I can keep it by holding my breath is the way I'm doing it. That's a form of belief, too.
You are seeking your own sort of balance. You are wanting health. You are knowing that you believe that there are germs around.
Yeah.
You are sensing your vulnerability to the germs, and so you are guarding yourself from that which you feel vulnerable about, which is your way of staying healthy.
Yeah.
It is doing it the hard way.
That's what I know from hearing you.
We would suggest to you that you say, I want and expect help.
Yeah.
You see, let us carry this a little bit further. Your guidance system works for you best when you have made your clear statement of intent. Since you are intending health, when you are about to enter a hospital, you begin to feel negative.
True.
And what your inner being is saying to you is, Jerry, you intend health. You are now entering a place where you believe there are germs. You believe there is danger to your health.
Right.
And so if you will trust your warning bell, you will not go into the hospital.
At all.
And under those conditions, that is the best advice. You see, we are not here to make all of your beliefs different than they are. We are not saying that you hold improper beliefs. We are saying that you have
sure.
a guidance system that will assist you
right.
in doing the right thing, right meaning that which is in harmony with your intent
yes.
and with your current beliefs.
So there's nothing wrong with taking the coward's way out.
Of course not. It
or
is not,
not
the coward's way. You are using your warning system effectively
yeah.
by avoiding that which you feel would jeopardize something that you want.
Yes.
Just as you say, I am a positive person. I intend to speak only of what I want.
Right.
And when you find yourself in conversation with someone who is complaining about everything,
yes.
you want to get away from them too.
I walk away.
Because your good mental attitude is now in jeopardy.
Right.
It is the same. It is effective. But what we are wanting you to know is, as you have this vision of yourself as you are wanting to be, you will attract less and less opportunity for the jeopardy. But your warning system is very important
yes.
to guide you smoothly through life experience.
Thank you. Abraham, we're running a little short of time on this tape, and so I'm going to just throw some questions to you, if you don't mind, as fast as I can, and maybe we can have some...
You're wanting some shorter answers.
Well...
We'll do our best.
Just because of the time factor. Number one, can chemicals affect the body, like alcohol or nicotine or cocaine or... etc.
In a negative way?
Yes.
Indeed. In excess, particularly. Your body will warn you, however.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What more?
Next, does any physical activity add to health? In other words, does better nutrition or more exercise, or does exercise or nutrition have a factor? Are they a factor?
They are a factor because of that which you believe.
Okay.
It is a very broad subject, for you are believing upon many different levels, and you are believing much about nutrition. Your body responds because of the beliefs you have been born into.
I remember Winston Churchill's line. He was the head of England at one time. Said, "I never run if I can walk, and I never walk if I can stand, or stand if I can sit, or sit if I can lay down." And he always had a big cigar, and he lived to be 87 years of age, as far as I know, in really good health. So it was just a belief factor there.
Leaving at such an early age.
Well, if a person feels tired or listless most of the time, what would you suggest to them as a resolution? If they're in good health, or seem to be.
The reason for that is not understood by most. This is the reason that we see you feeling that way.
Okay.
There is life force or energy that flows into you. It comes from the inner world.
Yes.
It flows into you as creative energy to be utilized. You extend it outward as you think of something that you are wanting. If you are not making decisions about what you want, if you are not giving thought to what you are wanting, then that energy or life force comes into you. It has no outlet, and so it is sort of jumbled up, and it gives you a feeling of lethargy or tiredness. Making some decisions releases that blockage, so to speak, and gives you a feeling of energy. It is not that you are without energy. It is that you are not utilizing the energy.
Yeah.
And so it becomes sort of stagnant energy, so to speak. It is not really that way. But giving thought to what is wanted will give you the invigoration that you seek, even more than good nutrition, by the way.
Okay. So what do you see as the chief cause of illness, just simply put?
There are a number of causes for it. For your intentions, as they are all blended together, bring forth different results. Primarily, illness exists because you have given thought to what is not wanted upon any number of different subjects, have allowed the remaining of negative emotion within self, have stayed focused upon it long enough that the law of attraction has assisted until the negativity has gotten greater and greater and greater, thus causing physical deterioration of your apparatus. The first illness was created not because thought was given to the illness, but because there was not thought given to what was wanted instead. Negativity was allowed to persist. And so that first illness was created, and then others saw it, dreaded it, and got it as well. Have you not found it interesting that no sooner is a cure found for one great and dreaded disease than you somehow create another one?
I've been really aware of that.
And so where does that first one who gets AIDS come from? What we say to you is that you have potential for every illness in your body right now.
Yes.
And you have potential for perfect state of health in your body right now. And you will solicit one or the other, or a mixture,
yes,
depending upon the thought that you give to it.
Yes.
What more?
So, in other words, from your perspective, there is no physical cause for illness or disease. It's all thought, mind.
That is where it begins. It is, as you explain, the water coming out of your faucet. We say, indeed, we cannot deny that water comes out of your faucet, but there is much more to the story. And so there are many things that you explain in the way that we talk about the faucet, but we say behind it all there is thought.
Good. Are there any limits of control, and what are they, over our body conditions as the body approaches, say, 100 years of age?
Not from our perspective. Only self-imposed limitations.
Is there a time to die, and if so, when is it?
Nothing has been predetermined. It is up to you. You choose it from this perspective.
So all forms of death are a form of suicide?
From our perspective, that would be one way of saying it. It brings up great resistance in most who hear it. But you are the ones who determine that. Most do not decide to die. They just do not continue to decide to live.
How do you feel about those, or do you have any feelings about those who do decide to die and commit what we call suicide? In other words, consciously do it, do themselves in one way or another. Do you have any thoughts on that?
We see not a difference from one decision to another. The choices are all yours to make. What we are wanting is to teach you how to get what you want and how to stop getting what you don't want.
Okay. It seems to me in this nation that we're living longer. We're getting more years of life than we did, 100 years ago from what I see on the old tombstones. People seem to die younger. Do you see a reason for this? Assuming it's accurate.
They are dying younger before and living longer now.
Yes, like they used to, more of them would die at 50 than...
There have been times upon your earth when the physical beings have lived much longer than they are now.
Yeah.
All of it has to do with the way you believe.
So do we each then choose to some degree how long we're going to live in each life experience, how many years we're going to be here?
you come forth intending to live and grow. When you are no longer having growth, the inner being loses its enthusiasm to encourage the physical existence. And soon after, the inner being loses its enthusiasm for the continuation of the physical existence, then you have not much support from inner world. You are more or less on your own.
Yeah. Thank you. And Abraham, the last point, the chief dissatisfaction that I hear voiced in these times is regarding the ability to control a person's body weight. And so what process would you recommend to someone who's wanting to control their body weight?
There are so many beliefs upon this subject. So many different things have been tried. And most beings who are struggling with the control of body weight have tried many of them and succeeded at not many of them. And so their belief is that they cannot control their body weight, and so they do not. The subject of this recording has been for the faster creating of what you are wanting.
Yes.
In other words, they can take the time to bridge those beliefs, convince themselves that it does not need to be the way that it is, but that is rather slow. We would encourage a visualization of self as you are wanting to be.
Yes.
Seeing yourself in that way.
Yes.
Thereby attracting it, attracting the ideas, attracting the confirmation from others, all of the circumstances and events which will bring it about easily and quickly for you will come into your experience once you begin to see yourself as that way. When you feel fat, you cannot attract slender. When you feel poor, you cannot attract prosperity. That which you are, the state of being that you feel, is the basis from which you attract.
Yes.
That is why the better it gets, the better it gets, and the worse it gets, the worse it gets. We say to you, when you feel very negative about something, don't try to hammer it out and solve it then. You are just making it worse. Distract yourself from the thought until you feel better, and then
yes,
take another run out of it from positive, fresh perspective.
So is that why you suppose that people often will go on a what we call a crash diet, and they'll lose massive pounds, and then they'll find themselves gaining it back? Is it because the wanting was strong, but they didn't have the belief, or the picture of themselves as this thin person, and
that
so
is
they
primarily it
fill the fat picture back in again?
There are a combination of things. They want the food.
Yes.
They believe that the food will make them fat.
Yes.
And so as they are giving thought to that which they do not want in belief, they
yes,
create that which they do not want. But that, again, is going about it in the hard way. For the most part, the reason that they lose the weight and then gain it back quickly is that they never gain an image of self
right,
as they want it to be. They keep feeling fat.
Yes.
They keep thinking of themselves as that.
So,
that is the image that they hold.
So it returns back to that again.
Your body will respond to the image of self always. That is why if you see yourself as healthy, you
right,
will be. If
okay,
you see yourself as slender or whatever it is you are wanting in terms of muscle or shape or size, that is what you will be.
I think we have about 30 seconds left on this tape. Is there anything you'd like to say in summary?
We are pleased to have had an opportunity to express our knowing regarding these things. Truly, there is nothing that you cannot be or do or have. And if you will accept that you are attracting into your experience through thought, that there is not fate, that there is not another, there is only your own thought and expectation which bring to you that which you get, then you will come to realize that you are absolutely in control of your bodily conditions and all other things in your life experience. We like to talk about the bodily conditions because we know it is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And because, truly, if you will apply these laws to that, you will have very speedy results, which will convince you in the validity of the laws that you may use in all other facets of your life.
Yes.
Worry not about what others think. You think about you in the way that you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And listen less and less to those who tell you things about you that you do not want to hear. We are not recommending that you sever yourself from your doctor if you are sick. We are recommending that you begin to see yourself as well and see your physician as a means to that. It can be powerful. It is our knowing that you can be or do or have anything that you are wanting. We have enjoyed this discussion very much.
I have too.
We are complete.
Thank you.